Okay, good morning. This year is sponsored for your Fuah Shleima to Avraham Yecheskel ben Elisheva Basya. Okay, we're in Reish Nun Bet. Siman Reish Nun Bet, Si'if Bet. Umutarli tein begadav lekoves ein Yehudi ve'arot le'abtan. Peru sha'uman shume'avet umutaken ha'arot. So you're allowed to give your clothing to the cleaners, to non-Jewish cleaners, of course. That's the sugya of the Siman. And or to tan your leather, samuch lachashecha, even if it's right before Shabbos, im katzatz lo damim, if you specified an amount, and that's how it works at the cleaners nowadays. Osho seotam b'tovot hana'a, or you're exchanging favors, so it's the same din. We learned this. V'hu shelo yomar lo la'asad b'shabbat, but you can't tell him specifically to do it on Shabbos. And obviously the non-Jew has to be doing this in his home, not your home. So it doesn't look like you asked him to do it on Shabbos. So he's working for you as a employee. And if you give it to him right before Shabbos and you tell him I need it ready right after Shabbos, so that's also aser, because it's really the exact same thing as saying and doing it on Shabbos, but you didn't give him any time to do it before or after. Okay. Continues. Rama Haga. V'im lo katzatz. But if you didn't specify an amount, if you didn't make it like a kablanut for a set amount, again, you don't have to actually say the exact amount. You just have to tell them you're going to pay them something reasonable, or they understand that it's reasonable. Asur be'erev Shabbat. Then you can't do it erev Shabbos, right? We learned before. Then he says, yesh cholkin imoselo bechinam dahainu betovat hana. And some say you're allowed to if it's for free, because that is tovas hana. Ve'im ra'ah oseh melachto b'shabbat, im haya oseh betovat hana'a, tzarich lomar, shelo yaseh b'shabbat. And if you see him doing the work for you, and he's doing it as a favor, so then you should tell him to stop doing it and not to do it on Shabbos for you. Hagav, v'afil natanam lo kama yamim lifnei Shabbat. Even if you gave it to him on Sunday, and you see him doing it specifically for you as a tovat hana'a, then you should tell him to stop. Okay. All right. Because he's doing it for free, that's where it's more machmer if you see him doing it. Because since it's doing it for free, it looks more like he's doing it for you. Gimel. V'im hayta melacha meforsemet v'yadua she'hi shel Yisrael. Now, if the non-Jew is doing work for you on Shabbos, and everyone knows that he's doing it for you, it belongs to you, it's for you, ve'oseh ota b'makom mefursam, people can see it's... So then, tov lahachmir ve'le'esor. So then it's good to be strict and to tell him not to do it. Because the chashash, the people will think. Dalit. Right? It would be okay because you're a kotzei tzdamim, but we're machmer because everyone can see and knows that it specifically belongs to a Jew. Dalit. Kol shekatzatz. When you make this agreement, your kotzei tz, afal pi shi'aseh en yudim alacha b'shabbat, when the non-Jew does it on Shabbos, mutar li Yisrael obosh akli b'shabbat atzma. So then once it's done already, even though it's done on Shabbos, since it was done beheter, you're allowed to wear it on Shabbos. The kol shekatzatz adaiti denav sheka avid, because the non-Jew did it for himself to make money, and it was done beheter, so it's not a problem. Some are machmer and say it's aser to wear it on Shabbos if you know that it was done on Shabbos. And according to this, you should have to wait until Motzei Shabbos, the amount of time it'll take for him to do it for you on Shabbos. Knas? Well, it's a knas. Definitely it's a knas because I don't want to say for sure, but it looks like because it was Schar Shabbos.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know, Maris Ayin, that's the knas.
Okay.
So that's okay. V'tzarich lahamtin b'motzei Shabbat b'chdei sheyase. V'hachi nahug lechatchila. That's the minag lechatchila. You shouldn't use it. Im lo shetzarich ela b'shabbat. She'az yesh lahakel. But if you need it for Shabbos, it is Shabbos, so then you're allowed to. So it's almost like saying it's okay. Ve'im yesh litlot shenigmar ve'erev Shabbat. Right. The point is, if you have ten suits to wear and you really don't need it, so then that's when it's saying good to be machmer. Ve'im yesh la litlot shenigmar ve'erev Shabbat. But if you could say that maybe he finished it erev Shabbos, then for sure mutar b'chol inyan, is for sure no reason to be machmer whatsoever. Okay. V'davka im shigir lo en yehudi leveito. Now this is only if the non-Jew brings it to your house. But you're not allowed to go to the store or his house and pick it up on Shabbos itself, right? Because the chashash people, it looks like you asked him to do it for you. When are we trying to be machmer? When is there a time to be machmer? It's only when the Jew gave it to him, gave him the supplies, and wanted him to do it for him. Aval, en yehudi she'aseh min alim al hamikach. But if the non-Jew does it on his own, completely, it's his own material, he makes it on his own. So then, right, so going to the store, you didn't hire him for nothing yet. He was going to a store. So then, mutar li Yisrael hamakir olech v'likach imenu v'shabbat lina olam. You got to go to a store on Shabbos and pick up whatever you want. As long as you don't specify how much it's going to cost, you don't talk about money, and you come back after Shabbos and you figure it out and you pay him. Okay. The Mishnah just points out that even if the shoe was, if we're talking for a shoe, for example, or whatever you're wearing, if it was completely, for the most part, the shoe was wearable and ready, just wasn't like polished and, you know, totally fixed up, then b'dieved, if it was done on Shabbos for sure, for that you do not have to be machmer not to wear them. Okay. Hey. Umutar liftoach maim legina vehem nimshachim vehochim b'chol haShabbat. Okay, so this if's interesting. He says here, you're allowed to open up your water, your hose, to water your garden. We'll see how this applies to sprinkler systems. So certainly a drip system, for sure this applies to. Okay, laniach kilor, you leave the flow of the water, so that's for the gina, that's for your garden. Laniach kilor, sam shorafua shnazin ala ayin, you're allowed to put some kind of medication over your eyes. It's ave, ala ayin, it's thick, goes on the eyes. Alpha pisha asur lanichol b'shabbat. Even though this cream is asur to put on Shabbos, you're allowed to put it on before Shabbos. You're allowed to also put up spices even on fire and let it keep going and giving an aroma in the room throughout Shabbos. That's not a problem. Even if it's in a kli, because there's no problem again of shvitas kelim. All right, so having your dishes work for you. Or to have barley, to let them soak in a barrel or whatever, a bowl, and it's soaking in water for it to be separated. You're allowed to put that on before Shabbos and let it soak throughout Shabbos. And you're allowed to put on the beams, on the heavy beams, in order to finish the squeezing process. Mishnah Berurah points out, just to avoid later on when we get to Schita, we're going to see that sometimes you're not allowed to use the liquid that comes out if it was squeezed out on Shabbos. So the Mishnah Berurah is just saying, real simple, this case is, let's say you already started squeezing out the grapes or olives before Shabbos, and now you're letting just the heavy beams sit on them, so it continues the finishing squeezing out process. So again, your kelim are working for you on Shabbos. Right? And they're going to produce you wine and oil, olive oil. So that's okay. And you're allowed to even use that oil and wine that comes out on Shabbos. Okay, so all these cases, you're allowed to start the squeezing out process and let your kelim have it continue. Umutar latet chitim latoch rechaim shomayim samoch lachashecha. Now you had these mills for wheat to crush the kernels, and they had it spinning on Shabbos with I guess a flow of water, a river, a waterfall of some sort, and that kept it spinning, and it's working for you on Shabbos. And you're allowed to put the wheat there right before, the kernels, right before Shabbos. And throughout Shabbos, it's going to be doing your work for you. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, 100% permitted. Why? Because all there's no one's working for you. There's no issue of a non-Jew working for you. There's no Schar Shabbat. We're not afraid of people. You told someone to do anything, and we know that there's no Isra Shvita Schelim. Okay. All right, Haga. Now the Ramah is going to have a little bit of a different take on this last category in particular. So the Gemara has this phrase, Av Shamilta, it's the same thing as Hashmat Kol. There it's like making a loud sound. It's the idea of, so the Ramah points out, according to the Shulchan Aruch, he's not worried about making sound, noise. Even though you're having your appliance, you're having your kelim, machinery is working for you on Shabbos, and it's noisy, and everyone hears what's going on. It's not a problem, because everyone knows the halacha of shvitat kelim, no problem, even though it makes noise. He's not worried about l'hashmat kol she'omu rechayim shel ploni tochanot b'shabbat. They're not worried about people saying, he probably put the wheat on in the middle of Shabbos. Because everyone knows he's a firm Jew, and there's no reason to suspect him. Okay. V'yesh osrim berichayim uvachomakom sheyesh lachosh l'hashmat kol. So the Ramah, this is important. So he writes that we know there is another opinion, and he subscribes to it, that if it's going to make noise, we're worried about what's aser. So what are we worried about? What is hashmat kol? So generally, it's pointed out as two possible isurim, or they are. It just depends which and one applies in which case. Either marasayin, like you said, or zilzul of Shabbos. Lashon of Aramaic, ziluta de Shabbata. V'hachi nahug lechatchila, and that's the minhag lechatchila. So the Ramah lechatchila cares about any appliance or any machinery that makes noise on Shabbos. Now, there's no rule of what the decibel is, how loud it is. It's any time it makes. Now, this is under interpretation, and a lot of it depends on the minhag. That's really what it mainly depends on. Obviously, rabbinic influence and what they the minhag makom for sure, minhag makom and what the rabbanim recommend. Obviously, those are really the two defining factors for when, according to the Ramah. Now, really, I want to point out, many think that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't care about Hashmat Kol. So I think that's completely false. He does care. He doesn't care about your kelim working on Shabbos. It's if your kelim are working, that's when he doesn't hold it's a problem of Hashmat Kol, of Zilzul Shabbos, and Marisayin. But the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch, of course, cares about Zilzul Shabbos and cares about Marasayin. So it just depends. The machloket of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah is if you're having your kelim working for you on Shabbos, does the fact that it's noticeable to other people? So then that's when there's a machloket. But not any time there's Zilzul or any time there's Hashmat Kol, does it become mutter for Svardim. For a famous example, all Svardic poskim say, listening to music, you can set it with a timer, right? You can have your TV going, turn it on before Shabbos. So there's no Svardic posek who's going to say that's permitted. Certainly under the category of Maris Ayin, people change channels and volume all the time. There's Zilzul Shabbos. And the other category that can be thrown into the mix is, not going to get into details, but similar but different is Uvdin Dechal. Something that's very mundane and very not Shabbosic. So again, we see from Chazal that certain behavior that's inappropriate, bad things, curses happen to cities because of that. And anyway, so this applies.
It should be avoided. What about people making noise on Shabbos?
People making noise is not a problem. Unless you're violating Bein Adam L'Chaverah. Very good. Okay. Umutar v'hachi nach. So that's the minag lechatchila. Let's see. Miu b'makom seida yesh lahakel. But if a person is going to lose is going to lose money or perhaps a certain level of Oneg Shabbos, then one could be Mekel. Mutar lahamid kli mishkolet shekorin zeger me'erev Shabbos. You're allowed to have a clock that makes noise every hour. Afal pi, you know, the olden clocks, grandfather clocks, and certain clocks they used to make noise every on the hour. Afal pi shemashmiya kol lehodi ashot b'shabbat. Why? Even though it's making noise on Shabbos. Ki akol yodim shedarkon lahamido me'etmo. Because everyone knows it was set from before Shabbos, and that's how they work. Okay, it's not that anything that makes noise is usher. That's also a misunderstanding of the halacha. It's not that anything that makes noise in the room or to outside is usher. It's anything that makes noise that tells people that, oh, there's Zilzul Shabbos going on, or there could be Maris Ayin of a malacha being done on Shabbos. So that's when there's the concept, this halacha of Hashemah's Kol. Okay. We're not going to get into lots of details, but just to point out, the famous Rav Moshe is one of the most written on the topic, the most machmer on the topic. He's very much against Shabbos clocks, things going on and off on Shabbos, because he holds it's a zilzul Shabbos, and like he takes it to even things that are relatively quiet, and he feels that in general, if timers were around in the time of Chazal, they would ask for timers. Because it's a Zilzul Shabbos. You see, even though people know, we're used to it, so we know that there's no Maris Ayin, but it's still Zilzul Shabbos. Okay. But the Minhag is not like Rav Moshe, both in America and Israel. Okay. For example, people use timers for air conditioning, even though that's probably one of the most loud, hideous noises you're going to get. Obviously, it depends on what kind of unit you have. And it doesn't matter how loud it is, that's Oneg Shabbos, and the Minhag is that it's okay, and it's not Zilzul Shabbos, that's Oneg Shabbos. And it's not Maris Ayin, because everyone turns it on before Shabbos or has timers, it's normal. Lights are okay, alarm clocks most say is okay, but just many write, you shouldn't be using an alarm clock if it's playing music for you. So, okay.
Music being Xerus Darabanan.
Playing musical instruments are Xerus Darabanan. Okay, let's go on. Hot plates. Hot plates on timers, some say is okay. Some are not so in favor of hot plates being on timers. Okay. Sprinkler system. So certainly the drip systems are for sure not a problem because they're quiet. And some do want to say that a sprinkler system, which is really in your face and somewhat loud and noisy, or it's, again, it doesn't matter by the exact decibel. The point is, if it's audible, it's noticeable, and you can see it, then the question, that's a call to Hashemah's Kol, and then depending on the minhag, or the rabbanim, then you decide what's considered zilzul and what. So a sprinkler system, we'll leave it as a question. Some are not in favor of it, some are. Okay. Dishwashers, that's another question mark. So again, I'm not going to give an opinion on that one, but there are different opinions on dishwashers, especially, is it Oneg Shabbos? Is it a malacha? You're just washing dishes. Not exactly a malacha. And it is for Oneg Shabbos. So it depends perhaps how noisy it is. But then again, the halacha of decibels, it's not a halacha of how noisy it is. It's a halacha of, do you notice it? Although many poskim do like to say if it's noisy, it's not allowed, and if it's quiet, it is. If it's quiet, then apparently they make one that as soon as you make it, that it's almost completely silent. So some say that's okay. But one thing important to point out with all these appliances is the halacha of grama. We're not having a whole shiur now on grama, but there's a big pocket. What is grama? So Shlomo Zalman is on the more machmer side. And some others, that if closing an appliance, closing the door of the appliance is going to allow it to go on. In other words, if you leave the door open, let's say a dishwasher, a washing machine, usually if you leave the door open, it won't turn on for you. It's the water, nothing's going to happen. So he holds, even though it's going to happen later, it's set on a timer, but because by closing the door, it won't. You're making it happen, and it's all in one. It's all contained in one unit. It's one physical object. It's one box. And therefore, it's an Isser of Grama. But you can see it inside. So anyways, so that's a separate shaila that you can ask. I heard someone said they made a dishwasher that's essentially completely quiet, and it will go on even if you don't close the door. So if you're going to buy that, make sure you close the door before the timer goes on. And if it's mutter or not, again, ask your rab. Okay. Close the door before the timer goes on. Otherwise, the water is going to be all over your kitchen floor. Okay. But otherwise, I mean, again, not everyone holds of that Rav Shlomo Zalman either. So doesn't mean you have to go out and buy that one either. Someone asked, what happens if you have a washing machine? Having a washing machine go on with a timer or before Shabbos for Sfardim would not be a problem. It's for Ashkenazim where it's definitely a problem. Someone asked, what happens if you close the door and you can't hear it? So I think most would say it's a problem because, again, this is not a normal case of Maris Ayin because it only starts if you know about it. Normal case of Maris Ayin is it's Usser, and since it's Usser, you can't even do it in a closed room, because there's a Chazal say, whatever they were Usser for Maris Ayin is even Usser in a closed room. But it doesn't really apply now. I heard that before, but it's not exactly fit so well. Because it's only Usser if you know about it. That's what makes it Usser. You're still going to hear something. It's almost impossible to hear nothing. And once you can hear it, doesn't matter if it's loud or not, it's Usser. And how are you going to control that for sure? No one's ever going to open up the door. So it's, but anyways, I did hear some say that that's mutter if it's essentially completely quiet. But if it's blowing air outside, a dryer, so it doesn't matter if it's quiet inside your house. People notice it from outside the house. Okay. Reminds me of the famous question, a tree falls in a forest and no one's in the forest, does it make a sound? So I don't know if that weighs in the halacha, but perhaps. Okay. So let's read Vav before we finish. Lo yitze adam yav shabbat samach hashecha b'machto b'yado v'lo b'kumo shema yishkach v'yotzi aval mutar latzeit b'tfilin samach hashecha lefi she'eno shokachan. Okay, so he writes, right before Shabbos, a person, again, what is right before Shabbos? It's a question, okay? But right before Shabbos, if you're in a place where there's no Erev, and it's a Rishus HaRabim Daraisa, you're not allowed to carry stuff in your hands, you're not allowed to or wear something that's in an Usser fashion. Shema Yishkach V'yotzi, but it's right before Shabbos, and you might forget and be over in Usser of carrying on Shabbos Daraisa. But if it's a Carmelis, which is generally the case, or there's an Eru, for sure there's no problem. Aval mutar latzeit b'tfilin samu hashecha lefi she'eno shokachan. Now, but to carry it, you're allowed to go with your tefillin because you know everyone is constantly thinking about tefillin when they wear them, and one's going to remember to take it off and not be carrying it. Okay? Mitzvah l'mashmei shadam mekela be'er Shabbos samu hashecha shelo yik behem davar she'asu latzeit bo b'shabbat. Okay. Also, everyone, whenever Shabbos starts, before you walk out your door, we must check our pockets and make sure, inside pockets, outside pockets, make sure that there's nothing. You don't have to worry about little dust that collects in your pockets, but that's about it. Everything else has to be removed. Okay. Just to tap on real quick, vending machines, can they be, because we kind of tangentially went over it. Vending machines, can they be on if you own them on Shabbos and collect money from them? So it's famous, Nodi Rabbi Yehuda gets quoted as saying you're allowed to. Because the person is taking a product. Again, it is questionable, but he is Mako. And the Schar Shabbos that you're getting is completely not noticeable. And it pretty much is Behavla. There's not even a way for you to know when it was done, really. I mean, maybe you have a camera, but so don't look. But really, it's hard to... So anyway, so when it comes to vending machines, he's Mako. And one of the things he says is also if someone steals from you on Shabbos, he kind of compares it to stealing. To look at inside, but if someone steals from you on Shabbos, of course he has to pay you back. So it's kind of the same idea. He groups it a little bit together. Okay, whether you think it's exactly the same or not, I think the minhag is to be makeup by vending machines and online businesses. For certainly, there's to have your business open on Shabbos is certainly not a problem of Shvitas Kalim, we learned. The only question could be is if there's an issue of Schar Shabbos, if you're getting collecting money from Shabbos. And usually the rule is if it's done specifically for the day and it's noticeable, it's Aser. But if it's Behavla and it's completely not noticeable, it's Mutter. But again, do a Shelat Rav on your specific case. It's the best idea. Just to point out, there are some people who turn off their vending machines, or they close their entire online business on Shabbos, so people can't buy from them. So I think BH Photo is one that does that, well known. I think, if I don't remember correctly, I think Art School does that as well. But again, who's going to buy from Art School? I guess what happens is if you live in Israel and you want to buy Motzei Shabbos, that's when it becomes annoying. Okay, so that's definitely a good Chumrah, if not Meikar Adin. Okay. Should we stop? I think we'll stop. Fine.
Art School.